We're talking playoffs here at the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. 1 week to go in the UIL's regular season, and as always, district titles and playoff spots are on the line. Matt, Avi, Greg, and Corbett discuss last week's games, including big wins by Mansfield Lake Ridge, Plano East, and McKinney Boyd. Plus, we interview Mansfield's Jeff Hume, whose team pulled off a 46-43 win over state-ranked Cedar Hill. We've got all that, plus playoff scenarios and even a few matchups that have already been decided, all coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, the rain-logged edition, the early delay, late delay, lightning delay, pushback to
Might
Saturday
or
push
year.
Up to Thursday.
Or next week.
Do you think so?
That's what the weather looks like. Looks like the
Come
same
on.
Setup.
Thursday night's supposed to be pretty bad.
Oh, great. Okay, well, this is week 11, final week of the regular season. We've got almost a full crew here. Matt Wixon. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Avi Zaitlin. Hello, Avi.
We made it.
We did it.
Yay.
Yeah, this is Avi's first season in the Metroplex, and he looks equally beaten.
I got like one eye like half open, like, yes, Pyrrhic victory.
And Greg Riddle. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Done with his freelance invoices. Fingers crossed, maybe. It
yes,
is that.
They
that was
done.
The end of the month. Okay.
People have been paid.
Congratulations.
Where are those
people
checks at,
and
though?
Congratulations, Greg.
Yay.
We've got a loaded podcast. We'll talk about the games of this past week in part one. Part two, we have Mansfield coach Jeff Hume. And part three, we'll talk about games of the week and some playoff scenarios. Matt, before we get started on regular season,
right.
Snapshot day was yeah. on Friday, which is always everybody's kind of fun talking point. Any yeah. surprises from that? I wrote the story. Did you read the story? I'm sure you
did. I actually thought that, yes, I did.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Matt.
I actually thought Prosper was going to be more clear-cut to 6A from what I'd been hearing.
Right. I'd heard rumors about it, and
like
I didn't get that number until
huge.
Way late. Yeah.
And so now it looks like it's borderline, right?
Yeah, they yeah. are borderline.
So
what do you think
surprising.
About Highland Park?
They're again borderline.
I thought that their school was growing tremendously. What I've found out is they are growing tremendously at the lower grades.
Right.
The people that are moving in with young'uns. And, you know, they'll
be. So it's possible they'll be dip again and
yeah,
then
they could
back.
Dip again and come back. But they should, you know, at eventually they should go 6A and stay 6A.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another team that's right there on the cusp. Other teams of note that were on the borderline, McKinney North. It looks like the Richland's going down. It looks like Colleyville
Heritage
is going down.
Which has been a small top-tier school or top-class school forever.
And it's they're in a terrible spot because if they're going 6A, they end up having to play either Southlake Carroll or Euless Trinity, or in this case, they have to play both and Coppell.
Right.
Moving down to 5A would certainly help their cause. Joe Willis, of course, you know, was a tremendous 5A coach in the Austin area, had great success at Cedar Park. He's coming up to the Metroplex and certainly could be a big deal. I think the biggest surprise I had of all the numbers was Little Madison.
Yeah.
444 enrollment.
Mm. It's really shrinking.
Just shriveling away.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3A Division I school and a 3A basketball school. So you can think about them being in the same conference as Brock.
Right.
Good Lord of mercy.
And just a few years ago, they were playing Yates.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that affect AAA?
It does not. I don't know. It could because
that's... Because your smallest school from your metro.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, AAA has elected to play up in 4A, so not them, but it could affect other teams. But those teams have petitioned and successfully petitioned, like Faith Family and people like that, to play in a smaller classification. But that certainly does lower the bar that those teams have to play in. So certainly interesting in basketball. As far as football goes, they've had a good season this year. They're 7-2. It'll be interesting to see how they fare. That the 3A area, though, is really, really loaded. I was looking at a district. We have someone in the building working who has nephews at Pottsboro. That district has Pottsboro, Pilot Point, Kalispell, Whitesboro, just a slew of teams that entered the district play at either 5-0 or 4-1. It's a tough 3A area. We don't really necessarily cover a lot of 3A schools, but it is a pretty salty region. Okay, well, let's get to the games of the week. Biggest game probably was your Mansfield-Cedar Hill matchup on Thursday night, and that certainly lived up to all the hype 46-43. Cedar Hill Falls, they were the number three ranked team in the state, and I did not rank them in my top 10 in my poll, just based on the loss, because you'd have to kind of put Mansfield right there, either directly behind them or right in front of him. Yeah, so they ended up falling out of my poll and probably will fall out of the state poll once you look at what like Austin Westlake and Odessa Permian and teams, Converse Jets and teams like that who are big name programs have had great seasons. You would figure that they'll stay up there. Kennedy Brooks with a huge performance. He scored on the game's first play and on Mansfield's final play. They did kneel the ball to ice it, but scored on a 16-yard run. With about a minute and 20 seconds to go, Cedar Hill had the ball and had a chance to drive for at least a game-tying field goal, but an interception by Cole Brignac was the game difference. Surprising to you guys?
It's not surprising to me. I knew it was going to be a close game, and of course, Mansfield beat Cedar Hill last year, and I knew this was a huge game because the week before when I was out at the Cedar Hill DeSoto game, 10 seconds after Cedar Hill had beaten their biggest rival, technically, DeSoto, their neighbors, they were talking about, it's next week, Mansfield. That's the game that matters. And not only because it was for a district title, but because they lost that game, the Longhorns, Cedar Hill will play South Lake Carroll in the first round.
Brr.
And the big thing to me, and I wrote a little bit about this, is that, they got the pilot program this year for 6A.
Right.
So the higher seed in the first round gets to host. So Cedar Hill falls from potentially, 3 points separated you from being a district champion and having, a better look going into the bracket to now playing at South Lake Carroll's Dragon Stadium, where they do not lose very often. It's a tough place to play. So really kind of a, for Cedar Hill, one loss really hurt a lot.
It's a big one, and probably the most impactful loss all season, except for teams that are falling out of the playoffs because of a final loss. But certainly changes the scope of what we thought the Division II Region I playoffs would look like. Hate to see one of those teams have to go out in the first round, but that's just the way it goes.
That's right.
I really thought Cedar Hill's defense was going to be better than that. Based on how they played all season, nothing to take away from Mansfield, obviously, but 46 points, I didn't think they'd get up that high.
They held DeSoto to, what, 2?
Yeah.
Well,
it's true.
Well, DeSoto was playing an impactful game in Week 10 of the football season, which I don't necessarily think a lot of people were predicting at the start of the season, where they'd have to go into a game against Midlothian that has playoff implications, but that game surely did. Midlothian ends up falling in that 22-38. 38-22 is a closer game than what you might expect. Tristan Wallace rushed for almost 200 yards and 2 scores. That does secure a playoff berth for DeSoto, but they have not yet secured the Division I top seed. They'll have some work to do this week on that. Let's talk a little bit about 6-6A. A lot of goings on there. There was 2 spots still decided. Of course, Allen and Flower Mound and Marcus had already secured berths. You had Plano East and Hebron. Matt, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. 21-14, a win for Plano East secures a playoff berth. They're going to be the runner-up in Division I.
Yeah, we can go right to the cliche with this one. It was pretty gritty.
Gritty.
There was a lot of defense in this game. Plano East really kind of did enough to win this. And I'm not saying that they didn't play well, because I think Hebron, played really well against them. But Plano East came out, had a great drive early, took the lead, and then their offense just kind of stalled for almost 2 quarters. And you got to give Hebron some credit for that. But then when Hebron came back and tied it up, Plano East came up with a really big drive, an important drive, and got that winning touchdown. And that is... It secured Plano East playoff spot first time since 2011, which is hard to believe. But they've always been playing in a tough district. There have been good teams that just don't make the playoffs. But you should have seen after the game the relief and excitement on Plano East side. I was laughing.
Those
with
are some great pictures.
Yeah,
I really
Coach,
enjoyed those.
Joey McCullough, who was a Plano East alum.
Right.
And so,
and they were 1-9 last year, so what a great turnaround.
On top of that. The joyful hugs and everything. I don't. Even if they win a few games in the playoffs, I don't know if you'll see bigger celebrations than that. That was pretty exciting. People chanting playoffs. People throwing ice in the air and dancing around.
Throwing ice in the air.
Well, you know why they were so excited? because they have to play Allen this week. And if they hadn't have gotten it done this week, they're probably not going to get it done next
week.
Well,
they didn't have to beat Allen, but it certainly would have been a dicier.
It could have been a dicier situation. Right. Another game of note in that district with playoff implications was McKinney Boyd and Louisville. Both those teams were still on the bubble. McKinney Boyd 42-31. Caden Markham with a touchdown with about 2 minutes to go. That put them up by 11, a huge touchdown, and a terrible one for Mansfield. I mean, for Louisville, because Louisville can no longer make the playoffs in a point scenario. If they hadn't scored that touchdown, there would have still been a sliver of hope. They can end up being tied, but not advance in any playoff scenario.
Made your life easier.
It did make my life easier, although I did have to figure it out, so it's not necessarily super easy.
Not as bad as the Keller District.
Not as bad as the Keller District, yeah. My head is still... The worst one is the Lovejoy Wiley District.
No.
That's the one that I spent a good bit of time on Saturday night. Okay, let's talk about the other scores in that district. Allen, hey, quarterback controversy again. Yeah, there was a pick six, or I don't know if it was a pick six, but it was a pick that was, I think it might have been a pick six, that Seth Green threw early in that game. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Johnke comes in. They make the old switcheroo. Four touchdowns, 200 yards passing, 187 on the ground, two scores. It's back doing crazy stuff. They're just rolling.
Crazy, hey, my Ferrari's not working. Right. Well, just use the Porsche. This works fine.
I think it's true to form, though. They said who is going to be it's going to be whoever the hot quarterback is. And, you know, the other time when I was out there, Seth Green threw three picks in the first quarter and a half against Marcus. Mm-hmm. One wasn't his fault, but they brought in Johnke, and he did great, and he pretty much finished it out. And so I guess that's going to be the way it is. I think
through the playoffs is just so crazy.
Well, people will criticize it. Some people will say it's great. I think it works for some teams and it doesn't work for others. I think there are a lot of quarterbacks who'd be looking over their shoulder and worried about making a mistake because they're going to get benched. But you cannot argue with what's going on with Allen.
It helps that Johnke's a junior, and that he's got another year of eligibility that they can move him into the role and say, hey, you know, go for it. I think they've given Seth Green, you know, the majority of the snaps this year. You know, at least once you got into district play, he's been kind of their primary guy. But Seth, you know, Johnke's right there to move in. But Allen, they've got so many weapons, and they just look so good on both sides of the ball. Really, you've got to have them pegged as, if not the favorite in 6A Division I, then certainly one of the teams that is going to make a deep playoff.
Who's going to give them the best fight?
We'll face DeSoto in the second round.
I think DeSoto in the second round will give them surprising fight because I think they'll play better. But I don't necessarily peg them to win. But Euless Trinity, is the real deal. Euless Trinity with another big win over Richland this week. They finished their season at 10-0, so they get to sit and rest and get ready for the playoffs. As to, you know, Marcus with a win in 6-6A that we were talking about, they win a lot closer game than what people thought. Plano made a comeback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandon Stevens had a great game.
He did have a good game.
Over 200 yards.
236 and three scores, but it's not enough. 34-31, Marcus finishes their season at 9-1 and gets to rest. What do you think about that bye week in that last week of the season?
Smart.
It's got to be sweet.
Yeah. It's good planning.
I think if you can get there, that is a great time to have it.
It is, and you'll be able to send out as many scouts as you can. Coach can get out and watch whoever the first or second round playoff opponent is. It is a little bit of a benefit heading into the playoffs. Well, that's it out of that district. 5-5A, which Avi was mentioning earlier, just lots of stuff going on. It all hinged on Saturday's game with Keller Fossil Ridge and Keller. Keller Fossil Ridge wins, and they get in. That separates and really kind of kills a little bit of the excitement about the Guy Ryan game. I know it's huge excitement in Denton, but that game could have been to determine the winner and runner-up in Division II. Instead, Ryan is now going to be the Division I champ, and Geyer is going to be the Division II champ. So it's for the district title. Denton Geyer with an impressive performance by Sean Robinson. He's coming back off of illness. 184 in the air and 160 on the ground. They beat Keller Timber Creek 52-14. And Ryan, they give up a little bit more points than they have been giving up to Justin Northwest, 40-23, but four players with rushing touchdowns. The leading rusher in that game only had 37 yards, which is kind of weird.
I was kind of surprised at how much Keller's fallen off in district. I mean, during non-district, I think they were got up to, like, what, top 15 in our rankings, something like that.
They had a couple of injuries.
They had some nice wins, but they've certainly been kind of passed in the pecking order. Mm-hmm. Another team that has a chance to qualify for the playoffs is Trophy Club Byron Nelson, and Byron Nelson with a nice win over Keller Central, who is still hanging on for playoff hopes.
Doesn't Byron Nelson get in if they just win this week?
Byron will have to get over that. And when I look at my sheet, Greg, I don't remember all of those things. But I think you're right. Let's see. Hold on. Let's go. Byron Nelson is in with a win or a Keller Timber Creek loss or a Keller Timber Creek and Keller win. So go figure that. They can
also, if
they can lose,
falls over,
they can lose, but have two teams win, or they can win and be in.
So Greg.
So yes, they can win. Yeah, they can win and they're in. Or they win in a three-way tie. Okay, let's move on to 9-6A. Jesuit securing their first district title since their first year in the UIL with a 40-14 win over Irving MacArthur. Jacob Palish throws three touchdowns.
They had not allowed a point in 14 straight quarters.
I know. They've had five shutouts. They need to schedule a little tougher. Come on, Coach Hickman. We talked to him earlier in the season, but they've had a great year.
They can't control the district.
They cannot control their district. You're absolutely right about that. How about a crazy way to be eliminated or to qualify for the playoffs? That's Irving Nimitz. Nimitz beats W.T. White in a really good game, 35-28. Nimitz decided game deciding score just inside the fourth quarter with 10:41 to go, a 76-yard return on a blocked field goal attempt. Lewis Simpson rumbles in for the score, and that seals the deal. Nimitz gets in the playoffs, and W.T. White is eliminated, although they've had a really good season.
Vikings.
So congratulations to Viking and Viking Inflatable, which always makes me laugh. 11-6A.
Great logo.
It is a good logo.
I've seen all of them, I know.
11-6A, you had some teams that were certainly playing for their playoff lives. Saxie and Lakeview Centennial. Lakeview Centennial had to win to stay alive. They do not. Saxie wins 55-25. Devin Duvernay with 200 yards receiving and four touchdowns on the night. Tyler Lee and Rockwall, they played on Saturday. Rockwall rolls in that and forces Tyler Lee into a little bit of a spot there in the playoffs race. Garland eliminates North Garland from the playoffs, and now Garland is still hanging on. There's that three-way tie. They win 21-7. Jalen Haskins with 180 and a touchdown. And Rowlett continues their good season, 52-7.
I love that district. There's so much parity. And, like, Garland, you're thinking, I mean, just, like, off top of my head, I was like, man, that's a playoff team. But they're not. Like, they haven't clinched yet, right?
No.
Which is weird because they've been so good this year.
And they're probably unlikely to make the playoffs if you look at how the teams that they have to play and the way that the scenarios work out. It's going to be tough for them to make
the playoffs. And meanwhile, Rockwall wins district again. So good for them.
Yeah, Rodney Webb. I mean,
they lost a lot.
Instead of the Sports Day HS jinx,
right?
It is like the Sports Day HS boost. We've talked to Rodney Webb, won a title. Well, of course, now we talked to every coach, and like the first four coaches lost the following week.
Right.
So that wasn't good. But we've talked to several coaches that have clinched district titles, which is good.
But also, Cedar Hill, too. But that's
okay. Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Exception to a rule.
Nobody's weeping for Cedar Hill.
No.
They're okay.
They'll be okay.
They'll be fine. Yeah. Let's talk 5A. Mansfield Lake Ridge Mansfield Summit.
I was at that game.
Greg.
Just watching as a fan. Because my son will go to Lake Ridge.
Lake Ridge really turned it on in the
Jet
second
Duffy
half.
Duffy was incredible.
Yeah, he can bring it.
Seven touchdowns. 300 yards
seven
passing.
Touchdowns.
Four touchdown passes, three touchdown runs. See, and he almost threw a Hail Mary that was completed at the end of the first half.
Like
too.
300 yards passing, another 100 rushing. It's like.
And Summit has a really good defense, and he just picked them apart.
I think he's got to be in the conversation for offense. I don't know when y'all decide that, when we decide that, but offense.
He's going to be certainly in the mix. There's no doubt about it. They win 55-35, clinch the district title, clinch the number one seed wherever they end up.
Yeah, they don't know yet if they're going Division I or two.
Right, but they are certainly going to be the top seed regardless of where they end up. But a really impressive performance there by Jet Duffy and company. Lancaster. Lancaster beats Arlington Seguin 39-7. They win now. They qualify in every playoff scenario, so they're in the playoffs. Waxahachie wins.
That's a relief for them this year, last year.
you believe it because you've got a Waxahachie team. That's who they'll face this week. Waxahachie 48-0 against Red Oak. They're still in the mix. As is Timberview, who beats Legacy. So, you know, that was a game that had a lot of playoff implications, at least.
Waxahachie is the team that controls its own destiny.
And they get Lancaster this week.
They beat Lancaster, they're in.
Yep, Jordan Kitna with 3 passing touchdowns, all of them to Jalen Rieger, who had 7 catches for 170.
He also returned a punt for a touchdown.
He's a boss. 9-5A. Frisco and Wakeland. Got to say, a little bit surprised about that score. Wakeland 21-13, battle of great running backs. Jay Orjai rushes for 176 and 2 scores. Idris Ali for Frisco rushes for 124 and a touchdown. There's five running backs in that district who rushed for 1,300 yards or more, if you include Anthony Pegues, Kenne Nwangwu, and Khalil Banks. Yep. Those are the five. But
Wakeland is about as hot a team as you can find around, especially certainly in 5A.
Mm-hmm. They'll tie for the district title if they win this week against Independence.
Yep, and that should be not a gimme, but they should be a heavy favorite in that. Frisco Centennial, they keep their playoff hopes alive. Anthony Pegues rushes for 123 and 2 scores and a 42-10 win over Little Elm. Lone Star, they clinch at least a share of the district title. They're 9-1. They're on the bye week this week. With a 55-14 win, Jason Shelley with 3 passing touchdowns. That district, man, it's I don't know if Frisco is getting better. Like, I don't know if for Frisco ISD, if those teams are going to make long playoff runs, or it's just going to be a revolving cast of who can get third round deep. You know, who can get 3 rounds or 2 rounds. Well, they should get 2 rounds, but 3 rounds deep is kind of like the mark of like really quality playoff teams. They had one last year. I got a sneaking suspicion they're going to have one or maybe two in this year's mix. It seems like they've got, they certainly have the running attacks to do it, and they've got some teams that are really playing hot.
It's going to be really good first round match with them playing the 10-5A.
Yes.
Lovejoy and Wiley East and Wiley and McKinney North.
Now, you want to talk about a district that, is a mess as far as playoff scenarios. We'll talk about that in part 3, but. Wiley beats Lovejoy. They really improved their playoff hopes.
Just every year, Wiley, they start a little slow, but they always get a nice trajectory.
And a 3-yard field goal to win it with what, 1 second?
One second. Brandon Cunningham with a 43-yarder. That's really good. But Emilio Ames played really well in it. You know, as quarterback, he's a lacrosse prospect, but he actually is a really good quarterback as well. Almost 100 yards rushing, 3-11 in the air with 3 touchdown passes. Bowman Sales, of course, for Lovejoy, is always going to, have good games. He throws for 292 and 2 scores in the loss. Lovejoy, they're in the playoffs because they advance in every playoff scenario. Wiley is going to win and you're in. The district champ is Wiley East. Wiley East improves to 6-0 with a 63-42 win over Denison. And then Prosper still alive. McKinney North still alive. Both of those with nice wins. There on Thursday night. All these games were moved up on Thursday. In 12-5A, moving down in Region 2, you got Forney with a big win over West Mesquite. I don't think a lot of people picked Forney to be a playoff team, but they qualified with that win. They're now 6-3 and 3-3 in district play, 44-27. Rockwall Heath staves off a really feisty Roy City team.
Mm-hmm. That was back and forth.
3 OTs. They miss. Well, first of all, they had a chance to ice the game in regulation. They were kicking a short field goal, but it was, of course, on Friday night, so it was raining and inclement. They miss a short field goal that would have put them up 10-0. Well, Roy City comes back on the next drive, scores, sends the game into overtime. Both teams miss field goals in the second overtime. And then in the third overtime, they both score, and then Roy City ends up turning the ball over on downs after Rockwall Heath scores in the first stanza of the third overtime. It shows you how much preparation coaches do for third overtime. Mickey Moss sends out his field goal, his extra point team after
you
that. Has to call a timeout.
Because gotta go for 2.
Gotta go for 2. They didn't get it, so Roy City, if they could have scored and had 2-point conversion, would have pulled off the upset. But Rockwall Heath is in. Terrell and Mesquite Poteet with wins, setting up a really nice, tasty matchup. Although, here's a question I pose to you. Coach Wixon and Coach Zaylin and Coach Riddle, you guys have clinched a playoff berth.
Thank you.
You're the top seed in your respective divisions.
Pay me more money.
And you are playing a game for the district title that doesn't really, and that's all you're playing for. It's just the district title.
I think it would mean more to Terrell, which hasn't been in that position, whereas Poteet's been in that position a lot recently.
But would you put guys on the bench that you might normally play?
Not if I'd already clinched the district title, I'm okay with putting guys
taking
on the bench.
Taking
an L? With an L in that regard. But I think a district title still means something. And I would play my guys to win.
This is going to sound like I'm a terrible person, which I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, if I know my path in the playoffs is, like, really just buzzsaw, like, it's going to take a lot for me to win, like, first, maybe second round, then, yeah, get that district title.
Get the accomplishment you can.
Yeah, get the accomplishment you can. But if I think I have a legitimate shot to go at least – you know, 3-4 rounds deep, then yeah, maybe, you know, I rest my guys.
Also, I would say, I mean, if we're talking a situation where you have, like, a quarterback who's banged up and has a gimpy ankle, yeah, you sit him. I would, because...
Yeah, but if you sit your quarterback, you're pretty much, I mean, unless you got a guy in the wings, that's generally a loss.
Unless you're Allen.
Right, unless you're Allen in it too, yeah.
Right. But anyway, yeah.
Is anybody bad on this team? No? Oh, God!
Okay, well, the winner of that, that respective game, it doesn't matter as far as playoffs go. But they do get to face 11-5A. That's the district that they're opposing. Carrollton Creekview and Woodrow, Rhiannon was at that game. Creekview with a 28-16 win. Justice O'Geary with 117 and 2 touchdowns in the win. Talk about Lindale and Ennis. Coin flip game does not come and bite them on the bottom.
But it almost did.
Almost. 14-10. Ennis clinches a playoff berth with that win, but it was a close one.
And with a touchdown pass at the end of the game on a messy situation. I mean,
yep.
Already Ennis, we don't think, hey, efficient passing. not that it's bad, but, you know, I mean, they are a grinded
running team.
And it was a big play for them. Really clutch play at the end.
Some private school scores. Parish Episcopal and Grapevine Faith Christian.
That's a great game.
49-45. Episcopal wins. Defending state champs keep their playoff hopes alive. And then the SPC championships. That's actually playoffs started this week. You had in the big school division, St. Mark's take a loss. They're out. You had Arlington Oak Ridge fall to ESD in the small schools, and I believe it's Fort Worth All Saints.
Yes.
So All Saints and ESD for the
and
small
school.
They
get to go
title.
All the way to Round Rock to play
Woo!
Each other.
Now, surely the ESP might rethink that, right?
I don't know.
Oh, Lordy.
It's scheduled for Round Rock, which is where the other SPC championships
how
are.
About
yay!
How about the kid from Fort Worth Christian rushing for almost 500 yards? Did you see that?
I did not.
No. He rushed for what, four? Okay, it's in there. I'll bring it up.
It's in there, as in the paper. As in check them out.
Whatever.
It'd be in the Sunday paper. They
played Saturday.
I think they played Saturday.
Yeah, Fort Worth Christian is Jack Robertson.
Look at these numbers.
Senior running back. He 30 carries for 457 yards and 8 touchdowns.
What the hell?
That's only 15 yards a carry, though. He had more room. There was meat on the bone.
Are they playing six-man football?
They did not. He did not get named Offensive Player of the Week. Oh. Shame on you, Jack. That was Salina's Connor Pingleton, their quarterback.
Pingle Nation.
Who ended up his numbers.
7 touchdowns.
Pretty good, yeah. He was 25 for 31 for 12 and 7 scores, 1 pick. As Salina rolls
we had
on.
We a dozen guys who could have got
this
week.
I would like to point out both of those are for Hero of the Week, so the public has the chance.
Well, Hero of the Week, that's on Sports Day HS, which is now the new site. They officially flipped it over.
No
congratulations,
escape.
Avi.
There's no escape.
Kennedale with a big win over Alvarado. They moved up. I actually gave them my first place vote. Because they've been rolling. Alvarado's a pretty good team, and they put it on them. Although I think you can say it's pretty much 1A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
I really like all of those four schools right at the top when Salina, Argyle, Kaufman, and Kennedale. They're all pretty solid.
How do you pronounce that Kennedale running back's name? Do you know? Wadley?
Really? Q?
Yeah.
That's what his coach calls him, Q.
All right, I like that better.
Yeah. As opposed to Quadrace.
There,
Wadley.
Yeah. I always misspell it when I'm taking
it. Yeah, it's tough. So I think everybody just calls him Q. Okay,
cool.
Well, that's it for part one. Part two, we've got Jeff Hume coming up, and then part three. In part two, we have Mansfield coach Jeff Hume coming off a huge, huge win, district sealing win over rival Cedar Hill. Coach, congratulations on the win, first of all.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
46-43 in a shootout, Kenny D. Brooks scoring the first and the last touchdown, kind of bookending that. I know that you guys beat them last year, but coming into this game, I mean, there was much more than just a, you know, rivalry on the line. It was a district title on the line. How pleased were you that your kids came out and performed as well as they did?
Well, I mean, that's always the scary thing as a coach, you know, when you're dealing with you know, teenagers. You know, you never know sometimes how they're going to come out. I mean, we had a good week of practice, and I just wanted them to be able to handle the big stage and get out there and play loose and get after it. You know, the playoffs we were already in, so I think that sort of loosened us up a little bit, and we didn't play tight, and we were able to go out there and perform, and you know, it was real satisfying as a coach.
You knew that they were going to come in and give you a shootout. Did you expect to be able to control Avery Davis? He had six touchdowns. Was that a surprise to you that he was able to go so big against you guys, or did you figure that you would have to outscore them?
With somebody like him, and really with Cedar Hill just in general, I don't know if you can ever go in there to a game and trying to stop them. I felt like we did a pretty decent job of slowing them down. I know it doesn't look like it with all his passing yards and all the points they scored, but we were able to make them punt several times, and we were able to get a couple of turnovers. Obviously, the last one being big, but the one before that was pretty big too because we had just turned it over to them. So, you know, I think we slowed them down just enough to give our offense a chance to do what they do, and that's to grind that clock out a little bit. And so, but, you know, Avery's a phenomenal player along with those receivers. I mean, it was, you know, I knew it was going to be a shootout. I didn't want it to be, but, you know, it ended up being okay.
As far as Kennedy Brooks, they did a pretty good job in the first half after he scored that first touchdown. They put a lot of guys in the box and made Dameron Smith, your quarterback, throw the ball, and he did with great effectiveness, 8 of 10 for 248 yards and 3 touchdowns in that first half. They're really impressive on the play action. Did you know that coming in that you'd have to get your passing game going a little bit?
Well, we figured we'd have to, you know, with everybody concentrating on Kennedy, and for good reason. He is, I think, the best back in the state, and of course I'm biased, but, you know, when you have that going in, you know, we know we got to be able to throw the ball, and we feel like we've got some very good receivers, and we feel like Dameron has gotten better and better each week. You know, he didn't play the first game of the season against Marcus, but ever since then, you know, he has started every game and gotten better and better. And he's got some good targets to throw to with Saida Debo and Mike Christopher and Austin Tidwell. And, you know, that's just not who we are at first. You know, when we need to throw and have to throw, I feel confident in us throwing it. But we like to run first.
Yeah, Coach, I think before the season when we were talking about how your district was going to play out, and it is so deep and everything. Joey McGuire was saying the same thing about Kennedy Brooks. He's saying he might be the best back in the state. And I think it's interesting when you look, there are not many teams other than you guys the last couple of years have been able to run the ball successfully against Cedar Hill. And
yeah.
I guess that's obviously a testament to Kennedy Brooks, but your offensive line deserves a lot of credit on that too.
Right, and that's true. I agree with that. I mean, because, you know, we've beaten Cedar Hill without Kennedy before. And sticking with the same, you know, the same formula. But I think our offensive line does a great job with our, you know, and with what they do. And I think our schemes match up well with what Cedar Hill likes to do. So, you know, it's been, you know, Joey's a great coach and, you know, he's a great guy. Him and I are on a committee together. And you know, in fact, we had a committee meeting the night before our game. And you know, so we were giving each other a bad time before the game and everything about that. It just happened to be Mansfield night that night.
Now, everybody is kind of focusing on Kennedy, but Saeed is a special player. Tell us a little bit more about him. He plays, one of your outside receivers, but he also can play cornerback.
Yeah, you know, Saeed's probably the best athlete on the team. He never comes off the field. He returns kickoffs. I guess about the only thing he doesn't do is return punts. But, he's a big corner. He's about 6'2". 175, 180. He's got great feet. He's the same classification as Kennedy, so he's just a junior. He's got over 500 yards receiving, which I think is number two or three in our district. So, I mean, he just, you know, he comes up with big plays on the offensive side of the ball, and we need him to shut down somebody on the defensive side. He does a great job of that, like he did, you know, I think 2 weeks ago against DeSoto. He made some great plays there at the end of the game. And so, I mean, he's just a phenomenal athlete. And, you know, I don't know what side of the ball he's better at, to be honest with you. I just know he's real good on both sides.
Now, with the emergence of Dameron, has that really changed your offense? You did start the season at 1-2, but you've been rolling since. What's changed?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with that. I mean, obviously, I think we've been able to put people on their heels a little bit with our throwing. You know, I just don't think people, you know, think we're going to throw the ball, you know, with Kennedy. And, you know, obviously in this day and age, you have to. And when you've got a young man like Dameron that that's accurate and efficient with his throws, and we've got some receivers, then, you know, that makes people second, you know, start to think a little bit about what we're doing. And when they back up a little bit, back those safeties up especially, that gives Kennedy and you know, our fullback even a chance to, you know, get some good yards.
Now, there could be some great rematches there in the Division II playoffs, because you're likely to see either Cedar Hill or Flower Mound Marcus, a team that beat you in the start of the season there in the playoffs. How loaded is that? Have you been able to take a look at the Region I Division II bracket to see the types of teams that will be in there?
Yeah, I really haven't. You know, I haven't looked at it too closely. I do know that there are some – you know, it is going to be a pretty loaded division, you know, with Cedar Hill, South Lake, and like you said, Flower Mound. I have noticed that one about the second round possible rematch. You know, for that to happen, though, you got to get there. And, you know, obviously they've got to, you know, Marcus has got to win and we got to win. You know, that would be a heck of a rematch. You know, you don't see those very often, and they're usually pretty good when they do happen.
Well, Coach, we'll close with three questions. Did you play at Arkansas and Texas Tech?
Yes, sir.
So what are your reviews thus far of the Arkansas and Texas Tech seasons? Arkansas, of course, with an early season loss to Toledo, and Tech last weekend giving up 70 to J.W. Walsh and Oklahoma State.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, I mean, they're on two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to offense. You know, Tech did beat Arkansas, so I like that. You know, Tech is where I got my degree, and it's where my wife, so I'm going to lean toward Texas Tech. There's no doubt about that. you know, but, you know, Tech giving up 70 points as a defensive coach, that makes me cringe a little bit. But I think Tech's looking, you know, I think they're obviously better than they were last year, and you know, I'm looking forward to them going to a bowl game. And you know, I don't know about Arkansas. They may have the biggest offensive line, but you still got to do some other things.
Well, giving up 70 points in the Big 12, that's average. You know, that's about, you know, your average week in the Big 12.
I guess so.
Next question, how did you end up a defensive coach? You played tight end in college, right?
I did. And I don't know. I think it's just the coach that I learned the most under, a guy named Ken Herring, old Odessa Permian coach. I mean, he just put me, you know, he put me on the defensive side of the ball, and I just liked it. I mean, it was more natural to me, it seemed like, on the coaching side. And you know, so that's where I sort of spend most of my time in practice on the defensive side.
Okay, final question. Which football-related show or movie, TV show or movie, do you prefer? Friday Night Lights, the TV show or the movie, and Varsity Blues? Hal Wasson, I would like to point out, said that he liked to watch game tape, and that was about it.
I don't watch TV.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a Friday Night Lights guy. I know too many of the coaches and players that were actually there, so I did not see the movie, or I didn't watch. I don't like the TV show. Now, I like Varsity Blues because that was filmed in Georgetown, because that's right, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to throw another one at you. I really like The Program.
Oh-ho, yeah. Laying down in the road, though. That's dangerous, Coach.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that, but I do like when they knock that ball out of that kid's hand in that class and they're all diving for it in the professor's classroom.
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty legit movie.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate the time. Mansfield's Jeff Hume. Who do you have this week, Coach? Big game.
We end up with Midlothian to try to finish out District 6-0.
Now, I've been told by Kevin Ozy that his dad might have won a district championship in 73. So
he did, and I found that out,
okay.
And I corrected myself last night on that sports show. I did say 73, 42 years ago. So it's still been four decades.
Yeah, sure. It's been a while.
Absolutely.
Through the magic of the internet, we can correct that.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, well, Coach, we certainly appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, you bet, guys.
Part three. Bringing it back for Avi.
No, I was not laughing at that.
You are laughing at that, and you're laughing at the fact that we misspelled heroes in an ad.
Why you got to do that?
Don't. What? We own up to our mistakes here at Dallas Morning News. Well, we make mistakes. We're people too, and obviously someone in the ad department is a person because they misspelled heroes.
My name was misspelled in an ad with my face.
Matt Wixom.
Several years ago.
Was it Wixom?
No, it was Wixion.
Is that
it
your...
gave me a little bit of a French or Italian.
Wixion. Okay, well, it's part three. We're going to talk about games coming up this week and also some playoff scenarios. I know that there's a lot of games in contention. Anybody excited about any particular game? Greg, what game did you assign me Thursday? I'm forgetting.
Hebron and McKinney Boyne.
Ooh, I like that game.
For a playoff
with
spot.
Playoff spot.
And, spicy and salty.
Yeah, and that is
your adjectives for games. I have to tell you, always have to do with food.
Who? Mine?
Yours.
Oh,
we do this just before lunchtime.
Yeah, I am kind of hungry. I only got a little bit of a muffin. My kids are like, "Papa, I need that." So you know, sometimes.
Aww,
you get hungry.
That's what they call you.
Yeah, they call me Papa.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so that's a huge game as far as playoff implications go. Let's see. McKinney Boyd will clinch a playoff spot with a win. Hebron will clinch a playoff spot with a win. And a Louisville loss to Plano. They need a little bit of help. Now, if Louisville wins and Boyd loses and Hebron wins, Hebron needs to win by 10 or more. So it's one of those where, right. You know, okay, well, if they win by 8 or less – then Boyd makes the playoffs. If they win by 9, it's the dreaded coin flip to determine the playoff spots. So that is one of those to watch. Remember, there was a game last year, and I can't remember who the two teams were, but the team was trailing, had the ball at midfield, and kneeled the ball because they could make the playoffs without it. Like if they ended up losing larger – by like 3 points, they would end up, getting.
That's
it was
amazing.
Just a Northwest and somebody.
And wasn't there, if not last year, a couple years ago, where a team had a situation where they had to win like between 7 and 10?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they won by 11 or more, another team won.
That was that game. Okay. Yeah,
that was crazy.
That's
you like
awesome.
had to hit the sweet spot.
We need a 30 for 30 on that.
That's a really interesting setup there. DeSoto and Duncanville and South Grand Prairie and Cedar Hill both have playoff implications. DeSoto's got to beat Duncanville, which is not necessarily guaranteed. Duncanville's played pretty well, even though their record doesn't reflect it. They've actually, I saw them against South Grand Prairie, and they were certainly in that game. South Grand Prairie and Cedar Hill's licking their wounds, and they probably want to bounce back with a win heading into the playoffs. South Grand Prairie can get the number one seed if they win, and DeSoto loses. As far as your districts 10 and 11, well, districts 9 and 10 are already secure. We've got what the playoff matchups will be in that district. You've got Skyline and Lake Highlands will be the playoff matchup. Skyline, the winner in the large school bracket. Lake Highlands, the runner-up in 10 6A. The other side of it, you've got North Mesquite. Congratulations to Mike Robertson there. Really nice.
It's a one-loss season?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a one-point loss to Highland Park.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've had a great year.
First playoff since, I think, 2007.
Wow.
Wow.
They're the winner of 10-6A. They'll face Irving MacArthur in what should be a great playoff matchup. Irving MacArthur, the runner-up in 9-6A, but certainly a talented team and will be a really interesting playoff matchup. I think so far, besides your South Lake Carroll-Cedar Hill matchup, which is just a barn burner, Jesuit and Mesquite Horn sets up to be a really good matchup. Mesquite Horn, the runner-up in 10-6A. Jesuit going to be the champion in the small school brackets of Division II. But Horn certainly, they were a little bit disappointed, but they were a little bit banged up. They've got the offensive firepower to really challenge most teams in the Metroplex.
I think their quarterback came back this week too.
Yeah, who's committed to
Oklahoma.
So should be an interesting matchup there.
Got that down pat.
And you've got Highland Park and Irving Nimitz. there in the bottom part of that bracket. Should be an interesting matchup. So that's all been decided in 9 and 10. 11, 6A, is a complete mess. Rockwall and Rowlett have clinched. Saxey now advances in all scenarios they're in. So congratulations there to Red Barons and his kids. That last year they lost a heartbreaker in the last week of the season that bounced them from the playoffs. So you've got Garland and Tyler Lee. Garland advances in pretty much every scenario except for what I think might be the most likely scenario, which is they have to play Rockwall. So if they lose to Rockwall and Saxey beats Rowlett, which is a possibility, and Tyler Lee beats Naaman Forest, which I think is a strong possibility. In that scenario, Tyler Lee advances. So I don't know. That Saxey Rowlett game has a lot of importance, but it's tough for Garland because that's kind of out of their hands. Right. Unless they pull off an upset against Rockwall, they're going to be kind of left to whatever else happens. And I think Tyler Lee over Naaman Forest is a pretty good certainty. So it's that Saxey Rowlett game that really will determine.
And that's
their
a pretty fate. Even matchup too.
Yeah, I think that'll be a really interesting matchup. Mm-hmm. Logan Bonner certainly had a good game last week, and Saxey's Jalen Maiden and company have been really good this year.
That's another case where you have to decide if you're going to rest your players if you've already clinched like Rockwall, but if you do, it affects who makes the playoffs out of your district possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the top seed in Division One, the Rowlett and Saxey game has a lot of importance because the top seed will be determined by the winner of that game. The loser getting the runner-up spot. Rockwall is the top seed in Division Two and has already clinched at least a share of the district title, with a Garland or Naaman, or Tyler Lee as the runner-up in Division Two. Going on, as I snap my papers to look at things, Denton. We haven't talked a lot about Denton, and I'm kind of surprised we haven't put them in our rankings. They did lose early in the season to Carrollton Creekview, Creekview has had a good season, but not necessarily. I don't necessarily think that we put them as one of the area's best, though they best in that district by far. Denton's had a good season. They play Wichita Falls, and they've already clinched a playoff spot. Congratulations to Coach Randy Jackson. They've actually had a phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. They've clinched a playoff spot. The Birdville and Fort Worth Carter Riverside game has a lot of playoff implications. In that scenario, let me get my sheet.
Meanwhile, Denton's got a great running back.
Xavier Scott. Yeah. Okay, so Fort Worth Dunbar can advance with a win, but they're playing Lake Dallas, which is going to be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can advance with a Carter Riverside loss. Now, Carter Riverside and Birdville, I think Birdville would be considered the favorite there. Yep. It can go to a three-way if Dunbar loses and Carter Riverside beats Birdville, and then you get some crazy shenanigans in that district. In 9-5A, Wakeland versus Independence, I think Wakeland can secure at least a share of the district title there. And you've got Little Elm and Heritage, which is a game that doesn't have any playoff implications. Frisco and Frisco Liberty. Frisco is a one-loss They're now a two-loss district team. But it all hinges on this game, which is the Colony and Frisco Centennial on Friday night at Frisco ISD Stadium. The winner gets in the playoffs and clinches a playoff berth. The loser goes home.
Last year, Centennial had clinched a spot, but the Colony had to beat Centennial.
And they rallied back from 19 down, 17 down.
They scored at least two touchdowns in the last 7 minutes.
And then they went several rounds deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, almost beat Ennis.
Yeah, I mean, and Rudy Rangel thought a lot about his team at the start of the season. They've really kind of struggled. They're 4-5 right now, but a win would certainly do them wonders. That will give them the runner-up spot in Division One. Wakeland's already clinched the top spot, and you've got Lone Star and Frisco, the top and runner-up seeds in Division Two. 10-5A, just cover your heads, everybody, because it gets crazy, crazy, crazy in this district. They're all on Friday night. You've got Lovejoy versus McKinney. Lovejoy has already clinched a seed because they advance on all scenarios. You've got Wiley East and Sherman. Wiley East has already clinched a seed, and they're the district champs facing Sherman, who does not have a district to win. And then you've got two big games, Prosper and Denison, and McKinney North and Wiley. And I'll read you through this. And this one blew my mind, and I actually had to stop and just set it down and head back on Sunday morning to do it.
And your daughter said, "Oh, Papa."
Oh, Papa.
It's like you look at you go in Corbett's house and an entire wall is just drawn with equations. Like I forget the movie where he's predicting the end of the world. And Corbett's just
standing. I've got a string and going like this.
He's wearing the tinfoil hat and he's just got coffee that's just shaking in his hand.
Well, this is just kind of mind-blowing. But
prosper.
But it is true, I hope. And it's all caveat, I hope. McKinney North clinches with a win and a Denison loss, or a win and a Denison win if it's coupled with Lovejoy's win.
Right.
So, yeah, do what you want there, you know, Denison, you can win or lose. You just need a little sidecar help from Lovejoy. Wiley advances unless it loses to North and Prosper beats Denison. Prosper advances in every scenario with a win. So yeah, that's easy for Prosper coach Chris Ross in his first year. Denison advances with a win, except where McKinney North and Lovejoy also win. So scoreboard watching will be in effect there. Now, Lovejoy will be in the Division II playoffs, but we don't know if they're going to be top seed or small seed. We don't know where Wiley East is going to be, but they're going to be the top seed in Division I unless Denison, North, and Lovejoy all win, in which case they are Division II team. So lots to be decided. Make sure you watch Sports Day HS on Fox Sports Southwest and watch me stumble through trying to figure this out live.
I'm going to have such a hard time on Friday night with the Twitter account because I'm going to want to like tell people,
right,
you know, like what's going on, but I don't want to put like inaccurate stuff out there. So definitely a lot of prep will need to be done.
In that case, yes, absolutely. There's full of shenanigans. Okay, well, also in Class 5A, you've got that Mesquite Poteet Terrell matchup. Really interesting matchup. Terrell, you know, under Mike Shields has done just a really phenomenal job of kind of turning that program around in quick fashion.
What an interesting matchup between Poteet's defense and Dewanya Tucker in that rushing attack for Terrell. That's going to be really interesting.
On Friday night, we skipped over this district, but we should probably go back to 6A. It's 5-6A. There's lots to be decided. You've got Denton Ryan and Geyer for the district title. You've got Byron Nelson and Fossil Ridge. Byron Nelson wins, in their situation, they win and they're in, or a Keller Timber Creek loss, or Keller Timber Creek and Keller win. One of those crazy scenarios. In 6-6A, you've got that game. You've got Plano East and Allen, which I think, if anybody's going to challenge Allen in district play, it was probably Marcus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't necessarily know about that. The Thursday night matchup, of course, is the Hebron and McKinney-Boyd matchup. In District 7-6A, Colleyville Heritage and Richland square off. The winner of that game gets in the playoffs, so Richland's still got a shot, and they've actually played pretty well as of late. Your 11-6A game, Saxe and Rowlett, of much importance. Rockwall and Garland, of course, also important. In 14-5A, you've got Lancaster and Waxahachie.
That's a good game.
It's a really good game, but I know Chris Gilbert wants to win out. That's why he texted me and he said, that's what our goal is to win out. And, because I think there was some confusion about, their playoff hopes if they had to win this week.
Right.
And he clarified that and said, yeah, we're already in with a win, but we want to win. We want to win both of those games. You've got Lakeridge and Seguin. Lakeridge has already locked stuff up. Timberview and Summit. Timberview, they're fighting for their playoff lives. They did really well last week, but they need some help here. They secure the final bid with a win and a Waxahachie loss. There is a possibility of a three-way tiebreaker if Hatchie loses, Timberview loses, and Legacy wins, but Waxahachie would clinch that. So the only way that Timberview can get in, they've got to have Lancaster beat Hatchie, and then they've got to beat a good, good Summit team. Finally, in 16-5A, Corsicana will clinch the playoff spot with a win. They've had a really nice season. Mm-hmm. There's only one spot up for grabs. John Tyler, Lufkin, and Innes have all clinched. But Corsicana and Innes square off. Corsicana gets in with a win. Nacogdoches advances with a win and a Corsicana loss. Lindale advances on points in a three-way tiebreaker if Corsicana and Nacogdoches both take the loss. Private school games. Let's run through a few of them really quick. ESD and All Saints. Who you got in that game, Matt?
I'll go with ESD.
I'll go with All Saints.
Me too.
All Saints.
All right, I'll go with All Saints.
All right. Dang. Although ESD is the defending small school champs. And Houston, Kincaid, and Bel Air Episcopal. Bel Air Episcopal has been very good. Been very good this year. And that will be wrapping up your SBC championships. I like the way they do it. Get it done the first week of November.
Right.
Just knock that out. We'll have 6 weeks of playoffs coming up. Final thoughts, everybody? This has been a really fast season. It just seems like it's just flown by.
Yeah.
Not for Greg.
Not for Greg.
Greg's a freelance invoice.
Not the last two weeks with all the schedule changes.
The weather's going to be exactly the same. Thursday night, I think you said Thursday night is supposed to be bad. Probably those games will get pushed to Friday.
I don't have any problems with Thursday night games being bad because you can push those to Friday or Saturday. It's when Friday gets bad that you start pushing games to Monday. We can't have that. We can't have that. So let's everybody hope to be able to get in games on Thursday night. Lord knows I'll be covering one, so I don't want to have to bring my sleeping bag and finish at 1. But it's exciting weeks. Make sure you stick to Sports Day HS. We'll have all of your stats and scores there for the final games. We'll have playoff pairings as quickly as we can determine them. Playoff locations, it looks like we've got a couple of them already in the bag. The Frisco schools playing at AT&T Stadium. I think that was one of the ones I saw.
It's not official, but that's seeming likely.
Yeah.
Would make sense because you don't have to give up when you're in 5A. You're not giving up a home field.
Right. You're going to be unlikely to find your 6A schools lining to do that up.
Hal Watson, I just threw that. I said, would you guys maybe want to play at AT&T against Cedar Hill? He's like, people have never accused me of being too smart. But no, I'm not giving up the home field, which I just had to ask anyway because you never know. But those 6A schools, I don't think they're going to be very rare circumstances where they give up their home field.
Yeah, unless there's a agreement from all the coaches in those districts at the start of the season that you're going to try to find a good venue. But it does open up AT&T for
5A.
Some 5A schools that don't necessarily get cracks at that. But should be really interesting matchups in the first round. And I'm intrigued to see what the win-loss record is for schools with that first round home field advantage.
Right.
That will certainly be something that the UIL will be keeping dibs on because this is just a pilot program, and they're doing it primarily because of stadium availability. Like, it's a huge problem in the early rounds of the playoffs for people to kind of secure a neutral site, and especially in the Metroplex and in Houston. Well, that's it for Sports Day HS this week. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and make sure you stick with us. We will be here for the whole run to the playoffs all the way to the week before Christmas.
Yay!